This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Hurricane Florence will be remembered throughout our state as a devastating storm that claimed the lives so far of 25 North Carolinians, did damage to billions of dollars worth of property, and there is more to come. The floodwaters it unleashed continue to gush through communities in central and eastern parts of the state. Will Michaels is WUNC's Daily News producer, and he joins us now with the latest. Hello, Will.
Hey, Frank.
What is the latest? The storm obviously has passed out of the state, but now we're seeing flooding. Tell us what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's really nerve-wracking because people were, especially in southeastern North Carolina, were seeing the sun for the first time yesterday in probably 4 or 5 days. At the same time, there were still some scattered thunderstorms forecast throughout the central and eastern part of the state today. So it's this nerve-wracking feeling of people who have had to evacuate, watching the rain in some places just still not stopping. And on the other hand, waiting for rivers to crest. North Carolina's major rivers are expected to crest sometime today, and waiting for that to happen so people can actually get back to their homes and see kind of what the damage has done. I won't throw too many numbers at you, but I will say that there are still more than 300,000 households still without power in North Carolina, but that is down from nearly a million over the weekend. So that is a little bit of good news. Duke Energy says it will still take probably another week to get power on to everyone who lost it during the storm.
Where have we seen the most damage and the need for the most assistance?
In a few different areas. One is Wilmington, which got cut off from the entire rest of the state the other day because of flooding on I-40 and flooding on Highway 74 to the east and west. So really, there was no way to get supplies to Wilmington for a while except for airlifting them. Now there is one road that we understand is open to Wilmington, but that's being used, according to the Department of Transportation, by emergency workers trying to get supplies in and a few people out if they can. But they're telling drivers to really avoid that spot because, again, officials are trying to use that road to get in and out. Fayetteville is another hard-hit area. We are watching the Cape Fear River today. It is expected to crest. It is, as of now, into a major flood stage, and there is no category above a major flood stage.
Yeah, and it hasn't quite crested yet. We're looking at perhaps tomorrow for most of these rivers, right?
Right, and I should say that it has already passed levels of Hurricane Matthew to give you a sense of what the flooding is like, because places like Fayetteville and Lumberton had epic flooding 2 years ago from Hurricane Matthew. If these are expected to be, 500 or 1,000 year rain events, we've had two of them in the last 2 years.
Yeah. What about food shortages? Again, parts of the state have been absolutely cut off. Some supplies are now getting through. Are people running out of food? What's happening?
Well, Wilmington is another good example here for that, because today, actually, workers were able to get in more supplies. They've set up this kind of drive-through style way of getting supplies. They have set up a line of pallets on a city street. Next to those pallets is a long line of cars that are lined up to get supplies. They put in their order. They say, I'd like some, a case of water and some ready-made meals or a tarp. And then they drive away. And if you will remember, we had about 105-mile-an-hour winds in Wilmington when Hurricane Florence made landfall over the weekend. And that was a record not seen since 1958. So there were a ton of downed trees that went into people's homes. But they are getting supplies in, like tarps, to help people, start to rebuild. And again, Wilmington is, as I said, largely cut off. So people who have stayed there are trying to really in today and the next few days are going to start rebuilding.
Yeah. And this, as we say, the rivers, Cape Fear, has yet to really reach its full crest. Right. And that's the same for the Lumber and other rivers in the state. They're at major flood stage and rising probably through tomorrow.
Right. So the Cape Fear River in Fayetteville is expected to go up to about 61 to 62 feet. And that's expected to happen actually sometime today. We are still monitoring that, but it is at about 59 feet right now. That is past what it was in Hurricane Matthew. That there was a mandatory evacuation ordered for people who lived within a mile of the Cape Fear River the other day. That affects about 2,800 households. Fayetteville Mayor Mitch Colvin told NPR this morning that he thought about 90% of people, he did that evacuation order. But that means there are still about 300 people who did not listen to that evacuation order, who are still there. And he actually says that worst case scenario, this is kind of a stunning part of this to me, but he said that officials were willing and able to move City Hall and emergency management operations, which are in downtown Fayetteville, if the river actually makes it all the way downtown. They're willing to pick up and move City Hall if they need to. That is worst case scenario, but that was a really stunning fact.
Yeah, but it
to
tells
me.
You how bad things are if you're having to make that kind of a plan.
Exactly. And as you said, we're watching in the next few hours for the Cape Fear River to crest.
All right. Will Michaels, WUNC Daily News reporter and producer. Thank you so much, Will.
Thanks, Frank.
Well, peak flooding is still to come in Fayetteville, as Will was saying. And as the water rushes down the Cape Fear, the Lumber, and the Little Rivers, WUNC education reporter Lisa Phillip visited the area. She spoke with residents there, many of whom were actually not supposed to be there. She joins us now to explain. Lisa, welcome back.
Thanks, Frank.
You talked to some people who had evacuated and were coming back, but they've really felt the need to come back. Tell us what you found and who you spoke with.
Yeah, that's right. I was walking around some neighborhoods yesterday in Fayetteville, and I came across a couple of residents and an apartment building there, one of whom had rode out the storm, and the other who had actually returned just yesterday after leaving to stay with family about, I think, 20 or 30 minutes away. And the person who had returned, she didn't seem too worried about the river cresting. I don't know if it was because of the lack of rain, the fact that, like Will mentioned, residents were seeing the sun for the first time in days. I think it just led to this sense that it can't get worse than
well,
this.
Well, that's it. It's got to be terribly frustrating to know, you know, you're not there. Your house is probably underwater. You don't know anything about your neighbors, your pets. And it's one thing when the rain is coming down and you're seeing the storm surge batter the coast. But, man, when the sun is out, and it's got to be pretty difficult on people who are far away. Well, tell us about Vicki Williams.
Yeah, so I met Vicki Williams on the Pearson Street Bridge overlooking the Cape Fear River. That's the viewpoint that was posted on social media a lot yesterday, because you could the change in the river level was very much apparent. Like Will said, it's at 58 feet right now. Yesterday it was at about 54 feet, and that's 20 feet above flood level. And it's not, like you said, even at its highest yet. And from that viewpoint, you can see a railroad track that's nearly submerged at this point. And it probably will be in the next few hours. I know officials are watching that bridge today and, you know, will make decisions about closing it or not. But as of right now, people have been visiting that bridge to take a look at the river. Like Vicki Williams, she lives just around the corner from there. So not you know, just very close to the river. And she decided to stay, and she just had this sense that it's not going to be as bad as Matthew, which she lived through.
Somebody was telling me, they called me, told me, Vicki, I better leave. They said uptown was going to be, the water downtown was going to be up to your chest. But I went through there because I went to go take somebody some food. They didn't have nothing to eat. And I went all the way through. And I didn't see no water nowhere, no blocks or nothing.
There, Vicki Williams, a Fayetteville resident who spoke with our reporter, WUNC education reporter Lisa Phillip, yesterday. And you also spoke with another woman who is actually returning to Fayetteville despite the increasing flood waters. Tell us about Vicki Thompson.
Well, Vicki Thompson actually is from Tar Heel, North Carolina, and she had evacuated her home last week to stay at a hotel in Fayetteville. She actually lost power then in that hotel, had to move to another one. She is there with her granddaughter, Madison, who's 8, and she had brought her daughter to the river yesterday, to the Pearson Street Bridge overlooking it, because she just said that this was a historic moment and this is something Madison hasn't seen. It's something she needs to remember. And she told me that shortly after, they were planning to go back to their home in Tar Heel. And I asked her, are you close to the Cape Fear River at all? And she said, yeah, I mean, we flooded during Hurricane Matthew. And I asked her if she was worried about it at all. And she didn't. I think she was just so exhausted from being away from home for days on end at this point. She said she's, you know, been surviving on the Colonel's chicken and just is tired, and her granddaughter's tired. So there was just that need in that sunny weather to get back home, see how things are going and then just hope for the best today as we watch the river continue to rise.
But it is dangerous and it is difficult. I mean, you even had a hard time getting in and out, right?
Yeah. So it took me a couple hours getting down there yesterday at Fayetteville. It took some very long, windy country roads. On the way back, that was a bit longer of a journey. It ended up taking about 4 hours because, I hit road closures as, like I said, bridges that were open in the morning were then closing up because despite the lack of rain, despite the sunny weather, these rivers were continuing to rise. That's the Little River and the Cape Fear River. And so officials were blocking over bridges. And I know a lot of people were stuck in Fayetteville and just trying to get back to other places.
Trying to get back and trying to get food and supplies in as supplies diminish. So the best advice is still enjoy the sunshine where you are. Give it another couple of days so that the emergency workers can get in and lay the groundwork, bring supplies back, and until it's a little bit safer, enjoy the sunshine where you are.
Yeah.
Lisa Phillip, education reporter. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Coming up on the State of Things, we're going to look at the causes of the wealth gap. Certainly plays an important part in disasters like this. We find that people who are on the wrong side of the economic scale in the United States, and that is growing by the day, find themselves at an even greater disadvantage. It's one of the many destructive forces of the wealth gap in the United States. We'll talk more about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.